We're going to be in Luke chapter 19 this morning, and ushers are coming down the aisle with Bibles. If you need one, just stick your hand up. It's interesting, we're going to cover the story of Zacchaeus this morning, and many people believe that he was the smallest man in the Bible, because you're going to see it says he was a man of small stature. That's actually not true. Believe it or not, it was Peter. Yeah, it was Peter. If you go back to the story of Jesus with his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, you'll read that Jesus left his disciples to wait and to pray. And when he came back, he found Peter sleeping on his watch. You have to be pretty small to sleep on a watch face, people. My only regret in telling that joke is that I didn't tell it first service. So, Luke chapter 19, I've titled this message, The Blessing of Seeking the Lord. And I titled it that because, as we're going to see in verse 3, Zacchaeus, it says he was seeking to see who Jesus was. And that really stuck out to me, that idea of seeking to see. And so I began to do a little bit of research. And what I found was that the word seek is found in your Bible just over 200 times, depending on your translation. And of those 200 plus times, there are many times where the Bible uses the word seek to describe the blessings that take place in the lives of those who seek the Lord. And we're going to look at a few of those, but first let's read our passage and then we're going to ask the Lord to bless our time. So Luke chapter 19, verse 1. It says, he entered Jericho, he being Jesus, and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He's gone in to be the guest of a man who's a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Let's pray. Father, we pray that as we open your word, that we would have hearts that are receptive to what you want to speak. Mold us and shape us, we pray. For those that are discouraged, I pray that you would encourage us. For those that need direction, would you speak a word of direction? For those that need rebuked, we also pray that that would happen too, Lord. That as we read your word and study it, that you would speak to your people. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In our passage this morning, we read in the first two verses that Jesus passed through Jericho, and while he was passing through, there was a wealthy man who was a tax collector. And although everybody here at Calvary Chapel loves to pay their taxes, some people do not know. Worse than that, what we read is that Zacchaeus was a cheat. We know this because verse 7 tells us that people who were witnessing this event called him a sinner. And then ultimately at the end of our passage this morning, when Zacchaeus is ultimately redeemed, he tells the Lord that he's going to restore the money to those he cheated fourfold. And I point this out because we often, when we're talking about Zacchaeus, we have kind of infantasized the story. We made it palatable for children's ministry. We made songs about it. And you know, we sing Zacchaeus was a wee little man and a wee little man was he. And we kind of paint him as this man that nobody really liked and he was persecuted. And Jesus was the only one who would accept him, right? But this is not what the biblical account of his story tells us. In fact, Zacchaeus is not a good man. Zacchaeus, from all we can tell here in this passage, is that he is a cheat. He is a man that didn't care about the poor, and all he cared about was lining his own pockets, if you will. And so he was kind of a real jerk. And that's what we need to recognize as we get into the story. This man, Zacchaeus, is a bad, wicked man. And then we read in verse 3 that he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." What's interesting is that this seems to be just the curiosity of a sinner being Zacchaeus, but what I want you to notice more than that is that Jesus didn't ask Zacchaeus what his name was. Notice he didn't say, "Hey, who's the guy in the tree?" No, Jesus knew Zacchaeus' name, and he knew what type of man that he was. He didn't need anybody to tell him. He didn't need the crowds around to tell him. He simply knew Zacchaeus before he was saved, and he called him anyway. And I think that's kind of an interesting point, that the Lord saw him, knew him, and knew who he was in advance. He knew he was a jerk, if you will. And so at this point in our story, Zacchaeus could have said no. Have you thought about that too? Jesus says, "Zacchaeus, come down. I want to have dinner with you." And Zacchaeus could have said, no. "I like the comfort of my tree. I like observing you from afar. I like Jesus from a distance." Once again, I think that there's kind of an interesting dynamic there that we see in today. We see people that like Jesus from a distance. But that's not what we see Zacchaeus do here. In fact, verse 6, it says he hurried and he came down. He hurried and he came down and received the Lord joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He's gone in to be the guest of a man who's a sinner." You guys like my bad guy voice? Anyway, verse 8, "And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold.' And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation's come to this house, since he's also a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost.'" Here in this passage, we're not told exactly what moved Zacchaeus to call Jesus his Lord. We're going to speculate for a second. It could have been that Jesus called him by name, and the fact that he didn't have to ask Zacchaeus his name was enough for him. It also could have been that there was more of a conversation between Jesus and Zacchaeus that the author Luke doesn't record for us. Or it could have been that when he came face to face with the Son of God and he recognized his sinful condition, that there was just kind of this dynamic thing that took place. We don't know exactly, but what we do know is interesting nonetheless. What we do know is that in this passage, we see the gospel. We see Zacchaeus, a great sinner, called by the Son of God, obedient to the Son of God, and ultimately, according to verse 9, named as one who is not only a son of Abraham, but then in verse 10, as, hey, he's part of the salvation. Today, salvation's come to this house. He's part of those who are saved, verse 9. We see a great picture of the gospel. And then verse 10, the point being the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Isn't that awesome? Now, we covered the story. We say, okay, great. We see a picture of the gospel. Aaron's been teaching for 5 minutes now. Does that mean there's no more material? Well, no. I've taught a few times and I could teach all afternoon, but we're not going to do that either. So here's what I want to do. You guys know those movies where the character, the main character, he lives through the same day over and over again? Or if a TV show runs long enough, they always have an episode like this or whatever. They go over the same day over and over again, but there's always something slightly different. There's a different perspective, an added layer, if you will. And by the time the movie is over, what you have is kind of the full picture, all of the riches and the depth of the character, if you will. That's what I want to do with Zacchaeus. And so really quick, we're going to rewind back to the beginning, and we're going to look at another layer of the story. So, did all of your Bibles magically get back to verse 3 too? Sweet. Okay. You guys are discovering I like really dry humor. Anyway, verse 3. Notice, here's our second layer. I mentioned it before. We're going to kind of dig at it a little bit now. It says that Zacchaeus sought to see the Lord. Let's unpack that for a second. He sought to see the Lord. Zacchaeus didn't seek to see the Lord to see what he could get. He simply sought to see the Lord. This speaks of proper motives. And that's interesting because not everybody in our gospel accounts sought Jesus with the proper motives. You'll remember that some sought him to feed them physical food. Some sought him to heal them. Some sought him to discredit him or to defame him. But Zacchaeus, he sought to see the Lord. And this is particularly convicting for me. Because what I realized is that how often do I seek to get from the Lord? I'm not seeking to see the Lord. I'm seeking to get from the Lord. As if I'm just praying a little bit extra, or I'm doing a deeper Bible study, or I'm attending more church services in hopes that maybe he'll throw me a bone almost. Have you guys ever done that? Or is it just me? I can often find myself being guilty of seeking the Lord to get. But as I was reading the story of Zacchaeus, this one phrase just jumped out at me, seeking to see who Jesus was. And I realized, Aaron, you need to seek Jesus to see him. This reminds me of what David said in Psalm 17, verse 13 through 15. It says, "Arise, O Lord, confront him, subdue him, deliver my soul from the wicked by your sword, from men by your hand, O Lord, from men of the world whose portion is in this life. You fill their womb with treasure, they're satisfied with children, and they leave their abundance to their infants. And as for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake," and this is what I want you to pay attention to, "I shall be satisfied with your likeness." Other translations say, "I will only be satisfied when I behold you face to face." Isn't that interesting? David said, the world is guilty of having their portion in their life. They're guilty of seeking treasure. The world is guilty of even being satisfied with children, which we typically view to be a good thing. But David was not going to be satisfied until he saw the Lord face to face. That's interesting. That's challenging. This verse actually has pretty big significance to my family when my wife and I were going through some infertility stuff. This is the passage the Lord gave me to say, Aaron, cool your jets. Seriously. The world is satisfied with children, Aaron. You need to be satisfied, Aaron, with seeing me face to face because I'm better than even that. That's what the Lord spoke to me. That's not a great thing to receive. Well, it's not fun to receive, I should say. But what David is saying for us here is that we need to be a people that have a different perspective than those around us. We need to be a people that seek to see the Lord. Now, continuing in our story in verse 4, Zacchaeus ran ahead and climbed to see the Lord. This kind of speaks of labor. He didn't just wait for the Lord to come to him. He labored to see the Lord. And if you think about it, remember he's a small guy. This wasn't a limbo competition to see the Lord. He had to climb a tree. You guys know how hard it is to climb a tree if you're average size, let alone if you're... Anyway, first service didn't like that joke either. It's okay. Zacchaeus did what was necessary to see the Lord. And when he saw the Lord, verse 6 tells us he was quick to receive the Lord. And then finally, verse 8, he was quick to repent before the Lord. It's interesting, once again, mentioning King David, you might compare the two characters, and I'm going to for a second. King David was an adulterer and a murderer, But God called him a man after his own heart. Why is that? Because David was quick to repent before the Lord. Now, we don't read anything about Zacchaeus in the Bible, but I have to wonder, and it's just me wondering, don't take it as gospel, I simply have to wonder if when we meet Zacchaeus, when we get to heaven, if we will find that he was named also a man after God's own heart, because he was quick to repent. To be clear, I'm speculating. This is just me guessing, wondering, having an idea. But Zacchaeus was a man who sought to see the Lord, and when his life did not conform to the image of Christ, he was quick to repent. Isn't that incredible? He didn't hold on to what he had when he came face to face with God. Instead of rejecting God or saying, God, I need you to change to be more palatable, Zacchaeus said, I need to change. I need to get right with the Lord. And this is why I love this story. He was quick to repent. Anyway, now we've looked at Zacchaeus' story from two different perspectives and we're done, right? We've gone 12 minutes or something. No, none of those movies where they go over the same day over and over again only go through two passes. There's a bunch of passes. So, once again, we're back to the beginning. Because the title of the message is The Blessing of Seeking the Lord. And so now we're kind of getting to our application point. And this is what I want to focus on the remainder of our time. Did you guys notice as we were reading Zacchaeus' story that there's a particular zeal in Zacchaeus? It's the zeal of conversion. He recognized his sin. He recognized his need for a Savior. He's excited to get saved. And I was thinking about this and I realized this was all of us at one point. Any of you that are sitting there that are saved or followers of Jesus, you know this. When you first got saved, you were hungry for the things of the Lord. You were willing to give up whatever he would say. You wanted to be at church whenever the doors were open. You wanted to do whatever the Lord asked of you. Unfortunately, something often changes. We don't often maintain that same kind of excitement for the things of the Lord. And the reason for that could be a plethora of things. It could be that we're living in a state of compromise. It could be that we've forgotten the magnitude of what the Lord has done for us. You know, we've gotten used to considering the gospel and the cross the first week of every month at communion. And it's like, yeah, Jesus died on the cross. Okay, I'm good. And so it's kind of an emotive apathy, if you will. Or it could be that we forgot that there's blessing in seeking the Lord. And so that's what I want to look at with the remainder of our time. The blessing of seeking the Lord. Now, I came up with seven blessings. There are many of them in your Bible, and you could find more, but we're going to look at seven of them really quickly. The first one is found in Luke chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. I'll put it up on the screen. Jesus said, I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who seeks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Now, the first blessing of seeking the Lord is that he will be found. And that doesn't seem that interesting, maybe. But if you think about it in comparison to any other religion in the entire world, he is the only God that can be found. Think about, you know, remember when Elijah was on Mount Carmel and him and the prophets of Baal are going against each other and, you know, he starts making fun of them. Is your God asleep? Is he going to the bathroom? Whatever it might be. Our God, Jehovah, is the only God that can be found. The blessing of seeking our God is he can be found. So that's the first one. This is echoed for us again and again in the Word of God found in Jeremiah 29, Deuteronomy chapter 4, and several other places. Our God can be found. Second of all, to those who seek the Lord, the blessing is deliverance. In Psalm 107, verse 13 and 14, it says, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Now, to be clear, I am not saying that the Lord will deliver you from every hardship, heartache, or illness that you have. What I am saying is that our God is a God of deliverance. And whether it's this side of heaven or on the other side of the veil, he does deliver his people. So to those that seek him, he will deliver. Thirdly, the blessing of seeking the Lord is that he offers wisdom. We find this in Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 6. It says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understand, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Verse 6, this is what I want you to pay attention to. "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding." The Lord gives wisdom to those who ask. Other proof texts of this would be Proverbs 3, Proverbs 28, and James chapter 1. The Lord offers wisdom to those who seek him. Fourthly, to those who seek the Lord and wait upon him, he offers strength. This is found in Isaiah 40, verse 31. It says, "But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint." The Lord offers strength to those who seek him. Number 5, the blessing of seeking the Lord is that he rewards those who seek him. Hebrews 11, verse 6 is a good proof text for this. It says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." Number 6, those who seek the Lord are led to righteousness. We see this in Psalm 24, verse 3 through 6. "Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob." It's interesting, when people are dealing with addiction or really life-crippling sin, they often want to know, how do I get out of it? It turns out seeking the face of God is the answer, because to those who seek the Lord to see him, they are led to righteousness. Did you see that? Isn't that interesting? We often think that it's going to be a whole bunch of big steps and all these things. If you seek to see the Lord, you will be led to righteousness. You will not be led to compromise. You will not be led to what the world has to offer. You will not be led back to your sin. If you spend your time seeking to see, you will see the righteousness of God. Verse number 7, those who seek the Lord are satisfied. This is my last one. In Psalm 109, verse 6 through 9, it says, 107. It says, "Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things." He satisfies. That's interesting. Because we live in a world that is not satisfied, is always looking for more, is falling apart at the seams, is stressful to live in. We have very weary souls. And yet Psalm 107 says that he satisfies the longing soul. Interesting. He satisfies. Not in a way that the world satisfies, not in a temporary way, but a supernatural way. And I wonder how many of us sitting here this morning are discouraged, are empty, are looking at this list going, the Lord offers strength and a place to rest, a place to truly be satisfied. Why is my life not like that? Well, maybe it's because we need an adjustment in our lives. We need an adjustment in our hearts. We need to go back to the drawing board and say, okay, at the beginning, just like Zacchaeus, I was seeking to see the Lord. I was seeking to see who Jesus was. I was seeking to see his face. And then I was changed. Maybe the adjustment is I need to go back to seeking to see the face of God, that there would be that adjustment in my life, that I would have strength, that I would see God deliver in my life, that I would see wisdom, that I would see righteousness in my life, that I would be satisfied by the Lord. Once again, that's not even an exhaustive list. That's seven things. But it does paint a good picture, doesn't it? It paints a picture of the blessings that are in the Word of God to those that would seek to see the Lord. So going back to my question, why is it that the zeal for the Lord wears off? Why is it that we start great and start excited? Why is it that we believe, we start and we kind of have our own personal Jesus revolution, if you will? We believe that God's going to move in our midst, that he's going to heal, that he's going to come back, and we're all excited. Why is it that we go from that and we kind of begin to grow cold? Is it because we're discouraged? We're compromised? The tough times have become too hard to handle? Or is it because we've forgotten? Forgotten our first love. It's interesting, in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, we read that Jesus said to the angel of the church in Ephesus, he said this, "Write the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands." This is what he said. "I know your works, your toil and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you're enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you've fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Yet this you have, you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." I want you to notice, as we're considering this church in Revelation 2, they were a great church. They were hard workers for the Lord. They endured difficult things. They withstood evil. They called out false teachings. They were doing a lot of good things. The problem was that they forgot about Jesus. They forgot to seek him, to see him. And the result was that the Lord had to speak to them and say, "Remember how far you've fallen." I wonder if this is kind of what the Lord It was speaking to me as I was studying. I wonder if the Lord might speak to you the same thing. How far have you fallen? That you've gone from seeking to see me to now you're seeking to get, or maybe you're not even seeking me at all. That's kind of what I... That's what really impacted me as I was reading this story of the wee little man for the billionth time. Am I like this Ephesian church in Revelation chapter 2? Doing good things for the Lord. Working hard for the Lord. Being at church extra overtime. Serving the poor. Doing all the good things. And yet, living in such a way as having forgotten him. Forgotten the Lord. I want to remind you that we're not saved to be saved, and we don't serve the Lord to serve just so we can say we did stuff. We are saved and we serve because we're seeking first Jesus, the prize. We're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so my exhortation would be, let's go back to Zacchaeus. We don't know how his Christian walk continues or ended, but what we do know is that he sought to see who Jesus was. That's what I want to do. And that's my prayer for you, that you would seek to see who the Lord is for him, not for what you can get, but that you would see him face to face, because he is the prize. Amen? Would you guys stand with me? We're going to have teams down here to pray with you guys if you have something specific you need prayer for. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your word. How even though we might read the story for the billionth time, there's always a freshness. There's always a new way that you're speaking. Lord, help us to continue to kind of mull this over. Help it to land in our hearts, to take deep root, we pray. We love you. We thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. We thank you that you're faithful even when we're faithless. We love you and we pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. God bless you guys.